الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, continuing with العقيدة الوسطية للشيخ سلمة بن تيمية. Last week we discussed the matters of, or the chapter of faith, إيمان. And we said the linguistic difference between إيمان and تصديق and إقرار and the consequences of these, the different terminology. And we stopped at the point where Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah basically declared their faith, declared that their aqidah concerning Iman is that it increases and decreases. And we quoted evidences from that. We stopped at Asbab Ziyadat al-Iman. The Shaykh said, Asbab Ziyadat al-Iman Arba'ah. The reasons or the means through which one increases faith are four things you can do to increase your iman. Needless to say, is this important or unimportant?
Very important.
This is as important as things can be. I mean, because basically the level of iman is what decides what happens to you after you die. In fact, it decides what happens to you in the grave, because Allah says, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. Allah keeps firm الذين آمنوا, those who believe, بالقول الثابت, with the firm statement, in this life and in the life to come. The ulama say it means that the grave, in the grave when he's questioned by Munkar and Nakir. So the level of iman has to do with how confident you will be during the questioning and what happens afterwards. So it is of utmost importance that we identify the importance of this, the increase of iman and the means through which we can increase it. الأول معرفة الله تعالى بأسمائه وصفاته. The first reason is knowing Allah through His names and His attributes, because we have no other means to know about Allah. There are no other means to know about Allah. Some people say that it is merely intellectual. And the truth is, no, it is not. There are elements of belief which are based on intellect, and there are elements which have to do with your iman, specifically concerning the Allah's attributes, like Allah's face, Allah's hands, Allah's fingers. These you couldn't have thought on your own. Had it not been revealed to us, we would have known that. So, you know, it has to do with the textual evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah. فَإِنَّهُ كُلَّمَا ازْدَادَ الْإِنسَانُ مَعْرِفَةً بِاللَّهِ وأسمائه وصفاته ازداد إيمانه. The more the slave is knowledgeable of Allah's names and attributes, the more his iman will increase. So knowing Allah, and who can give us an example? Who can give us an example? What is the relationship between you knowing the names and attributes of Allah and your iman increasing? Okay. How does that increase your iman?
If you take Jabbar, it makes you be on the right path. Right?
Okay, good. Anything else? I need more elaboration, yes?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's inside us. So sometimes when you feel bad, you feel good inshallah, because Allah knows everything inside you, and you beg to Allah to.
Tab, which quality or name of Allah is that? How about Al-Alim? You say Allah knows? Al-Alim. Okay. So Allah knows everything, and Allah knowing everything gives you, actually, you can look at it from that aspect that you feel better. You can look at it that whatever happens is because Allah knows about it. And so you no longer worry, because Allah knows of it. Same thing you can say about Qadr, or Allah's Qudra, the fact that Allah is able to do all things, that increases your iman, that things which seem to be impossible, for example, the kuffar trying to throw Ibrahim in the fire, and that usually will burn someone. But Allah's Qudra entailed that Allah said to the Nar, Ya Nar, kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim, O fire, be cool and peaceful, safe upon Ibrahim, and so nothing happened to him. So that increases your iman. Knowing the Qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing the oneness and uniqueness of Allah will increase your iman, because when you see all these people worshipping these idols, statues, Jesus, the whatever, the cross, whatever they worship, these worthless objects, you know, that they've invented. Of course, the prophets are not related or not part of that expression that I made. Then you realize that the oneness and uniqueness of Allah will increase your iman, because you know for a fact you're the only religion which provides you with the true belief, which is pleasing to Allah, the Creator, is Islam. No other religion offers you these things. And of course, we can give more examples. The second reason or means, النظر في آيات الله الكونية والشرعية. النظر, what does نظر mean? نظر. Okay. Look, looking. نظر is looking, it's infinitive here. النظر is a مصدر, النظر. Looking. And of course, in the English language, if a word ends with ing, it's one of two things. It's either an infinitive or it is some sort of continuous. Past continuous, present continuous, future continuous. But it must be accompanied with a helping verb. I am speaking. Am speaking. I like speaking. Speaking here is not a verb. Because the like is the verb. I like speaking here. Speaking is an infinitive. It's a noun. Is that clear? So there's a difference between them. In the Arabic language, you have very similar grammatical rules. النظر في آيات الله الكونية والشرعية. نظر here means really reflection. It means looking, and looking with reflection. Because merely looking is not going to benefit you unless you reflect upon that which you're looking at. Otherwise, the kuffar, they see all kinds of things, and it doesn't make them believe. Because there's no reflection associated with it. So, نظر في آيات الله الكونية والشرعية. In the آيات of Allah, الكونية, the universal, الشرعية, the legislative. You should have memorized these terms by now. We've been studying them for Allah knows how long. You should, خلاص, these should be already common knowledge to you. كونية, universal. شرعية, legislative. And we said آيات is not restricted to verses. It could mean what we call a verse, even though some of those involved in da'wah disagree with the term verse being used for an ayah. Because a verse is used in poetry. A verse is used in poetry, technically speaking, and it is not used in the Quran, because the Quran is not shi'r, it's not poetry. So that's one view, but whatever. The ayat, anyways, the meaning is way more than that. Ayah, Allah says, for example, Surah Shu'ara, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةٌ وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Verily, in that is an ayah, meaning there's a sign. It's a miracle, in a sense. It's a sign, it's a miracle, indication, proof, evidence. All of these mean ayah. Not only the ayah which you read in the book of Allah. So here, ayat al-kawniyah. Could it mean the ayah in the Quran, the universal? Could it mean that? Impossible. Ayah here is referring to what? The signs, the universal signs of Allah. وَالشَّرْعِيَّةِ. Here it refers to the actual ayat of the Quran, and also the miracle in the revelation, even the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's also miraculous in this sense. قال الله تعالى أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت. Do they not look at the camels, how they were created? And the camel is an amazing animal. If you ever come across one while driving down, you know, to some distant place like Bahra or somewhere, you may see some camels, and just reflect on this camel. Ajib, the creation of the camel itself, the way it's able to endure heat and remain without water, because it has it stored in its own body for such a long time. The whole thing is just amazing. As a creation, it's an amazing, and you know, it was it remains to be one of the most valuable assets of the Arabs. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said, لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمُرِ النَّعْمِ. For Allah to guide one person through you is better for you than the red camels. Because the red camels were of like Lamborghini or Ferraris, or even more than that. Until today, by the way, in some of the United Arab Emirates or Qatar, they have these camel competitions, and the most expensive one, millions of riyals. For a camel. People still pay this kind of money for the camel. And they breed them, and يعني سبحان الله. وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. And the heavens. And the heavens could mean paradise. heaven, and it could mean the samawat. But very often in Islam, in the Christianity, it's a little different. They usually refer to heaven as in paradise. In Islam, we usually use paradise for Jannah, and samawat we use heavens. Right? Heaven or heavens. And the heavens, how they were, how it was raised. Rufi'at. Now, what is so unique about the fact that it is raised? What's so special about it? What do we call it? Do you know an ayah which supports that? An ayah which supports that. There are multiple ayat. I believe one of them is in the beginning of Surah Luqman. رَفَعَ السَّمَوَاتِ بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا. He raised the heavens without any pillars which you're able to see. And the ulama differed. What does that mean? It means, are there pillars which you cannot see? Or does it mean that there are actually no pillars? Alaykum salam. So either way, you don't see any pillars. So it is just raised. And if Allah willed, as Allah said, if Allah willed, and He did not hold on, He did not by His will keep the sky from falling, it would have fallen on people and crushed them. The sama is a creation. But just because you see nothing but blue, it doesn't mean that it is not a creation which may fall on people. Because on Yawm al-Qiyamah, it will actually split open. It become like doors, abwab. It be like gates. So it could fall on the people. But Allah Azza wa Jal decreed that it would not. وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ. And the mountains, how they were rooted and fixed firmly in the ground. The mountains. And you know, the mountains, subhanAllah, are also amazing. وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ. And the ground, the earth, how it was spread out. So what is Allah saying here? Do you not look at these things? Look at the camel, look at the heavens, look at the mountains, look at the earth, and use this for what? To believe in Allah. To believe in Allah. And really, when you look at them, this camel, what are the chances of human beings being able to create a camel like that, with this functionality? And if they were able to create a robot camel, what kind of maintenance does it require? What kind of battery does it need? What kind of, you know, even if they, let's say, use the sun to recharge it, as in modern days now, some watches, you go like this, supposedly, and recharge, yeah, solar energy, whatever. Even now, how much complication is associated with that? And then, if of course, you need a mechanic to fix it, and whatever. All these things, human beings are unable to do. Well, Allah Azza wa Jalla created the camel in the manner in which He did. And there are, you know, millions and billions of them existing, and Allah maintains all of them simultaneously. The same thing we can say about the heavens and the earth and what have you. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى قُلْ انظُرُوا مَاذَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا تُغْنِي الْآيَاتُ وَالنُّذُرُ عَنْ قَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Say, look at what is in the heavens and the earth. But the ayat, the signs and the nudhur and the warnings do not benefit those who believe not. No matter what you show them, they will not believe, because they don't want to believe. وَكُلَّمَا ازْدَادَ الْإِنسَانُ عِلْمًا بِمَا أَوْدَعَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي الْكَوْنِ مِنْ عَجَائِبِ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ وَمِنَ الْحِكَمِ الْبَالِغَاتِ ازْدَادَ إِيمَانًا بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. The more the person becomes knowledgeable of what Allah has placed in this universe of the amazing creatures and a miraculous wisdom, he will increase his iman. This will increase his iman in Allah Azza wa Jal. وَكَذَلِكَ النَّظَرْ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ شَرْعِيَ. Similarly, reflecting upon Allah's legislative signs. يَزِيدُ الْإِنسَانُ إِيمَانًا بِاللَّهِ. It will also increase your iman in Allah. لِأَنَّكَ إِذَا نَظَرْتَ إِلَى الْآيَاتِ الشَّرْعِيَةِ. If you reflect upon the legislative signs, وَهِيَ الْأَحْكَامِ الَّتِي جَاءَتْ بِهَا الرُّسُلُ, which is basically the rulings which the prophets or the messengers brought, وَجَدْتَ فِيهَا مَا يُبْهِرُ الْعُقُولِ مِنَ الْحِكَمِ الْبَالِغَةِ وَالْأَسْرَارِ الْعَظِيمَةِ الَّتِي تَعْرِفُ بِهَا أَنَّ هَذِي الشَّرِيعَةِ نَزَلَتْ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. You will find in it what mesmerizes the mind of tremendous wisdom and miraculous, benefits, that through which you're able to know that this sharia, this legislation, was sent down by Allah. It was sent down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وأنها مبنية على العدل والرحمة. And it is based on justice and mercy. فتزداد بذلك إيمانا. That will increase you in إيمان. And I mean, if you look at any aspect of Islam, any social aspect, any economical aspect, any aspect pertaining to the relationship between the creation and the, amongst each other, or the creation, the creator, everything is perfect. Perfect from right now, the riba. And all the problems which the world is suffering from because of riba. Interest, people just running their credit, and you know, then they, it's just a big, big loss. Muslims have the solution. If people were to apply al-qard al-hasan, the good loan, where you loan someone money and then they pay you back the same amount which you loaned them, then a lot of the problems which exist today economically would not have existed. And I saw on CNN, on the internet, on CNN, they had an interview with some Islamic banks in Nigeria. I believe it was Nigeria, one of these African countries, and there was this lady, Muslim lady. And now they're saying how they've started a franchise of banks dealing with strictly Islamically, no interest. And the whole country is excited about it. Christians, everybody wants, they no longer want to deal with their banks. All of them are going to the Islamic banks, because they found their justice and fairness, which they don't find in their own banks, who try to basically capitalize on their needs and make more money off of them. So in any aspect actually of life, Islam provides the Sharia of Allah Azza wa Jal is the most perfect. Killing the apostate is a classical example. People say this is, you know, barbaric, and this is, you know, this is cruel, and this is, you know, injustice, and the people have the freedom of religion and someone is free to be a Muslim or to leave Islam, and why would you kill someone? Say, are you kidding me? There's nothing better than killing that loser. If someone was a Muslim and he decided to leave Islam, they don't want Islam. After they identified it as the truth, after it became clear to them, this is the deen of Allah. It is not cultural, not someone who was born into it. No, someone who came in contact with the truth. Then they left it alone. Their existence is worse than their non-existence. Because when they die, it's better for them. Because if they don't, the longer they live with that crime, the greater the punishment in the life to come. Did you know that? The greater, the longer the life with the more evil deeds, the greater the punishment. Their death is mercy to them. Their death is mercy to them before the people. For the people, it's Allah preserving the faith of the believers. Because people are weak. And when they, if at the time of weakness of faith, when they see people leaving the religion, and there's nothing in Islam which prevents you, you know how many people will be leaving Islam on a daily basis because of their weakness of faith and their sins? Many. But when they know that there's no choice, no matter how low the iman gets, he will not leave Islam. He may abandon something, he may leave something alone, but he will not say, I want to become a Christian or a Jew or a Hindu, because he realizes the consequences. So that ruling is mercy for the believers. Through this ruling, many of them remain within Islam and Allah guides them eventually, rather than them leaving and destroying themselves. And for the other people, it's mercy that these people don't exist in the society because they're the worst example of a human being. So in that ruling, there's mercy for the one being executed, for the ones who may are weak of faith, and for the regular people in the society. So it's a win-win situation all the way. Now, if you don't look at it this way, and you're brainwashed by the Western media, you'll say, yeah, you know, come on, this is too much. Why would you kill someone? Blah, blah, blah. But in the deen of Allah, this is the most suitable ruling. And Prophet ﷺ said it explicitly, مَنْ بَدَّلَ دِينَهُ فَقْتُلُهُ. Whoever changes the religion, as in whoever leaves Islam, kill him. There's no point for, you know, elaboration or philosophical argumentation, as some of the people have said today. It means that, doesn't mean it. It's clear words, clear words. If you leave the religion, then that's what the ruling is. Now, if you're not reported to the authority, you get by. And many people get by. But what are we supposed to do? Leave them or give them da'wah? Give them da'wah. It's our obligation. It's our obligation. Everyone is obliged to make sure that everyone around him is adhering to Islam to the best of one's ability. This is our obligation.